Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Friday. Today we are going to be talking about some new features that Tesla has announced related to the holiday update and some visualizations, which are pretty interesting. Also got some news on Tesla in China, Thailand, and a few other items as well. All right, looking at the stock, Tesla basically tracking the NASDAQ again today, up about 0.5%, closing at $243.84. The NASDAQ up about 0.5% as well. We'll stay on the stock for a second. We got an interesting note from Bernstein analyst Tony Sakanagi today. Long coverage, or long time covering Tesla for Tony Sakanagi, and has pretty consistently been bearish on the stock. He is saying that Tesla is one of their best, or actually is their best idea, shorting Tesla stock is their best idea for 2024. They see nearly 40% downside for the stock. Again, they have consistently seen 40% downside for the stock, probably as far back as I can remember, but $150 price target on the stock. And saying, at a fundamental level, 2023 has been a very difficult year for Tesla, with 2023 EPS 50% below consensus estimates at the start of the year, yet amazingly, the stock has nearly doubled year to date. Of course, all of us know that that doubling year to date happened because January 1st happened to be a low point for Tesla. If you go back even just a couple more months, Tesla's actually down from, you know, October of last year. So a little bit disingenuous to frame things up that way. I'm sure he's aware of those things, but nevertheless, that context is very important when you're looking at things like that. He says, according to analyst estimates, Tesla is expected to grow volumes by over 400,000 units, so call it 2.2 million units next year, maintain flat prices, improve auto gross margins by more than 200 basis points, and asks, why now? What will be different in 2024 with these analyst estimates, which were missed for 2023? And honestly, that list is even way too long to even go through. We're going to be in very different situations with downtime with Highland or with the Cybertruck. We've got interest rates, where in 2023 interest rates were increasing and suffered a significant rate of change over the past 6 months prior to that. For 2024, that could be inflecting in the opposite direction. That alone is a huge change in the auto market. 4680s, I mean, we can just go down and on the list of what things are going to be different in 2024. Doesn't mean that these things are all going to come to fruition by any means, but the analyst should be giving us these sort of answers to these sort of questions, right? Rather than just saying, hey, the stock, you know, missed estimates last year and it doubled, so we should short it. That sort of analysis is not super helpful, as opposed to things that would answer these types of questions. So obviously in their analysis, they've got opinions on that, but again, historically, they have not quite gotten the Tesla story right most years. So we'll see, but obviously a pretty big headline there from Bernstein today relating to the stock. Right, getting into the software updates or new features that are coming. We've talked about this. We talked about the release notes that we had seen already. A couple of features though with this holiday update from Tesla that will be coming. Custom lock sounds, we're not going to spend much time on that, but you know, when you lock your car, it'll make a sound with the horn. You can now change, or you will now be able to change that to a number of different preset items, or Tesla employee has confirmed that you'd be able to upload your own. So that'll be pretty interesting to see what people do with that. But more interestingly, aside from other features that we had already gone through previously, Tesla is going to be adding a high fidelity park assist, where you'll be able to see a 3D reconstruction of your surroundings while parking. So a lot of people have asked for sort of an overhead 360 camera view. I think Nissan has the patent for that, so I don't think Tesla is willing to license that. This could be their solution or answer to something like that, and hopefully something that ends up ultimately being even better someday. Probably not going to be there initially, but it will be interesting to see the implementation of this, and there's a lot of promise with a feature like this for Tesla to make a very good system and something that can be superior over time, in my opinion. So, of course, we'll have to wait and see how good the implementation is. This was one of the things that TeslaScope had said. There was more to come with the software update, so this is one of those items. They also say that when you see the visualizations in person, they will absolutely blow your mind, and it's just a tease at what they've been experimenting with in terms of visualizations. A couple more things here. They say everything you thought was possible with visualizations changes next year, and they talk about this being related to FSD version 12 a little bit, saying that until V12 drops, the wiper stuff won't be fixed, but they're saying that version 12 now delayed until mid to late January at the earliest. So it kind of sounds like there was originally some intent for version 12 to maybe be a part of this holiday update. I'm sure Tesla pushed hard for that, but it is now a little bit pushed back. So they're saying mid to late January, again at the earliest. So that could obviously change, probably is likely to change at some point. Elon also added an interesting comment on this sort of comparison with 360 view or bird's eye view parking. Holmar said, unpopular opinion, this feature is completely irrelevant in a world where cars drive themselves. Of course, we're not quite to that world yet, but I would agree with that when we do get there. The question is how long? Elon says, true, we are working on a feature where the car identifies probable viable parking spaces, you tap on one, exit the vehicle, and it parks there. So this would effectively create something like a reverse smart summon, hopefully a reverse actually smart summon, which of course we are still waiting on updates on that. Hopefully that'll coincide a little bit with version 12. But I think the feature in general is interesting and interesting to think of in the context of a robotaxi, because I doubt Tesla would spend too much time on a feature like this if it wasn't something that they had in mind to utilize for a robotaxi type of future. You could imagine this interfacing with something like a fleet manager where they're, you know, organizing a lot of different robotaxi vehicles and have to kind of, you know, make those logistics work with parking and all of those sort of things. If there's a way for that communication to happen, which it sounds like is something that they're kind of working on building here, that helps. And of course, in the interim, could be valuable even before, very valuable even before a full robotaxi type of situation. Could be helpful for directing a vehicle when it's picking up a passenger or something like that, just so the passenger can help aid on where exactly the vehicle should be going. And you could also think of it in terms of, you know, integration with a large language model like Grok, we've talked a little bit about. You could integrate that and maybe give these sort of commands in natural language, and then they could interpret it with this sort of software that is built in. So a lot of interesting things that this could develop into someday. And I think those are the most interesting parts about it, because again, Tesla's probably not going to spend much time on something that they don't view as important in that context in the future. So in general, again, we'll wait and see how this feature comes to be, but I think people will welcome it. Hopefully it improves on what we've seen some complaints on with the removal of ultrasonic sensors and park assist in the current iteration. Of course, the idea there was for always for that to improve over time. So hopefully this can be a step towards that. All right, next up, we've got some new China numbers. I do want to point out production here. We're going to talk a little bit about in a second. Those numbers are coming from Roland Percher on X. I didn't actually get the production numbers yet, so I can't verify them. I'm not sure what his source is. Usually he gives pretty accurate information, but I just want a disclaimer on that, that I don't know for sure if these are correct yet. So first, we'll just talk about sales here quickly. Of course, we previously had wholesale sales, so that was 82,000 and a half almost. We now know the breakdown of that from Model Y to Model 3, pretty similar to what we had seen, or what we tend to usually see in terms of that split. Nothing crazy there. And then retail sales versus exports, 65,500 for retail, so that's domestic sales in China, and just about 17,000 exports. So retail sales up significantly month over month, no surprise, as we track the insured vehicle numbers weekly. Those are retail domestic sales, retail or domestic sales. Export, of course, down a little bit as Tesla working off of fixed production. So as retail rises, export's going to fall. I would imagine that this will level out a little bit, be closer to a 50-50 split for next month, but we'll just have to wait and see. Elon did comment on this on X today, saying that monthly numbers aren't meaningful as cars are manufactured in batches to minimize complexity, switching between parts for China, EU, etc. So still commenting a little bit about batching in terms of production there. And this was in context of EV market share changing month over month, increasing to 12% from 6%. So although he's saying monthly numbers are not meaningful, in this market share perspective, that's very much the case, as we see obviously a lot of volatility here month to month in these numbers. But when we're talking about production and things like that, it is still very interesting and important to look at. So that brings us to production. Again, Roland Percher saying that production was 90,800 vehicles for Tesla at Giga Shanghai in November. If we confirm this is accurate, which we should be able to do in the next couple of days, that's going to be a production record for Giga Shanghai. And if we look at the split, we've got almost 36,000 Model 3 Highland vehicles, about 55,000 Model Y, which right around the average that we've seen over the last few months for the Model Y. But this would again be a record, or would also be a record for Model 3 production. And this is just, you know, 2 months, 3 months after the downtime, hard to even call it downtime, but after the transition from the old Model 3 to the Highland Model 3. So extremely impressive. Again, we got to wait for confirmation of this, but if this number is right, that is going to do really good things for Q4 financials for the Model 3 Highland and the overall impact on the business, especially because those vehicles are selling at higher average selling prices than what we were looking at in the Model 3 for the Model 3 in Q3. So that kind of brings us back to what's going to be different. Well, things like this are going to be different. And of course, we'll see hopefully that transition happen in the US at some point next year as well. I doubt it'll happen quite as quickly for the US, but if it can be anywhere close and also improve production numbers and costs and maybe get a higher average selling price for Model 3 in the US, that would be great for the business as well. So again, we'll keep an eye out for that to try to confirm that number, and we'll come back to that when we do. Then we've also got a quick update on China. They have announced on their Weibo account, I believe, that the Model Y standard range is sold out for the year. Of course, we've only got a few weeks left in the year, so it doesn't mean a whole lot at this point. But if you do remember, there was that insurance subsidy or partnership that was about 8,000 RMB off of the price. So I think that promotion is now removed with this being sold out. Again, just the standard range version, but that was the only one that the promotion was eligible for as well. And we do actually see pretty long wait times still on the long range version of the Model Y. So interesting to see that, and probably good news in general since we had just seen that insurance boost added. Then we've also got another update in Asia. The Prime Minister of Thailand said that he had met with Tesla executives. Says, I went out of my way to entertain them so they would fall in love with Thailand. They are looking for 2,000 rai, not sure exactly, of land. So that'd be about 320 hectares, around 790 acres. But again, don't forget about significant digits on this. It's probably best to just say, a few hundred acres relating to that. So it'll be interesting. We've just heard these reports that Tesla's plans to expand Giga Shanghai for the next generation vehicle. What they would be doing then in Thailand, maybe additional production. Who knows? We're waiting to see what they do there, waiting to see what they do in India. Maybe they do energy plants and part of the supply chain. But nevertheless, interesting to see that these sort of visits and explorations are continuing elsewhere. All right, and then a quick one here. KBB is reporting that the Model Y has now jumped to the second most registered vehicle in the United States, following the Ford F-150, so just barely surpassing the Toyota RAV4 year-to-date through the first 9 months. So exciting to see that. Hopefully this will continue. The F-150 is pretty decent step up there, and of course there's a lot more variants of the F-150 than there would be for the Model Y, certainly in terms of price point and just kind of what the vehicle represents, but nevertheless, nice to see the Model Y surpass the RAV4. Of course, we've seen that in California for a long time, but nice to see that now take place for the United States as a whole. One quick thing on Tesla purchasing. You can now pre-qualify to finance your purchase with Tesla. So they'll do a soft credit inquiry, not a hard pull, so it won't affect your credit. You just put in a few things like income and, of course, your information so that they can check your credit. And then you'd be pre-qualified, presumably pretty quickly, maybe instantly, with that information. So it should make the process there a little bit smoother. And then last couple of things for today, the three reviewers that had the Cybertruck, so Top Gear, MKBHD, and Jason Kamisa from Hegarty, they had a podcast today for Top Gear, just a 40-minute discussion about the Cybertruck. Nothing too new that we haven't talked about. They spent a lot of time on the steer-by-wire and just how that was one of the most impactful things, getting in and operating the vehicle, one of the things that stuck out the most to them and takes a little bit of getting used to. They talked about the quickness of the steering ratio and how people might have different preferences for that. I think Jason Kamisa mentioned that that's something that a Tesla engineer mentioned, that they're just shipping one version of it initially, but over time they can pretty easily add software updates to make that more customizable for people that maybe have different preferences. So again, mostly stuff we've heard, mostly positive stuff from all these reviewers, which I think reflects the reviews in general. But I did link that down in the description if you do want to check it out. And then lastly, just a quick look ahead at the calendar for next week. Again, we talked about this earlier this week, but a couple of big items coming up. The CPI report on Tuesday morning, the PPI or Producer Price Index report on Wednesday morning, and then we do have the next FOMC meeting on Wednesday afternoon. So no interest rate increases expected. I don't think a decrease is expected. Everyone just kind of expecting it to stay stagnant, But the most interesting thing will be the statement, and then, of course, Fed Chair Jerome Powell's comments afterward. So keep a close eye on those things for next week, but that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you on Monday for the December 11th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.